to the Alaska Beagle Ranch. I'm Dave Dorsey, and I manage the ranch located near Wasilla, Alaska. There are presently 15 beagles and one basset at the ranch right now. Alaska Beagle Ranch is the only rescue in Alaska dedicated to beagles only. Thank you to all our listeners. This week we welcome new listeners from Austria and Great Yarmouth, Norfolk, England. In the U.S., we have new listeners from Arlington, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C. Of course, our largest listener groups are in Wasilla, Anchorage, Palmer, North Pole, Fairbanks, Kinnick, and new listeners from Homer and Kodiak. Welcome, and I hope you like what we have for you here. We do appreciate your support. The Alaska Beagle Ranch has over 970 downloads since we started doing our podcast last November. We are available wherever you listen to your podcast at. While we're talking about it, will you take a moment and write us a review? Tell us what you think, how we are doing, and maybe what you would like to hear more about. Help us get the word out about the Alaska Beagle Ranch. You can also help support our podcast by donating on PayPal at Beagle Ranch 907. Today's show is dedicated to Macy. Macy was the beagle that started it all for ABR. ABR update. We have some very sad news from ABR. Macy, the original beagle of the Alaska Beagle Ranch, passed away on June 7th after a fall. Macy was my closest beagle friend. She had done a lot with me, gone to a lot of places, and had my heart in her paws. In the past, we've talked briefly early on about dog parks. I'm not a fan of them, but a lot of people are. A Facebook friend of mine, Sonia S. Morrison Saldavia, posted this on her page, and I must share it. The dog park isn't right for every dog or dog parent. If you notice your pup always has a tucked tail, sticks super close to your side, or has wide, nervous-looking eyes, these are signs they prefer a different place to hang out. And there are plenty of ways you can offer your dog physical and mental stimulation without going to the dog park. If you are on the fence about taking your dog to a pup park, try these fun ideas out instead. Take your dog into a new neighborhood for a nice long walk that includes plenty of stop and sniff time. Take your dog to a one-on-one doggy play date with one of their furry friends. Hide your pup's favorite food around the house for a DIY scavenger hunt. And remember that you get to decide what's right for your dog, whether it's going to the dog park or not. From Dr. Marty's newsletter. Dog parks, the good, the bad, and the ugly. From the Association of Professional Dog Trainers. They're called dog parks or dog runs. Sometimes they're official, sometimes they're formed by a group of people who want their dogs to play together. Some dog parks are large, acres or miles of paths, but most are less than an acre in size, and some are tiny. Some are flat gravel or dirt, while others have picnic tables, trees, and other objects. What all dog parks have in common is the reason for their existence. Dogs and their owners need a place where they can run free, sans leashes, and do doggy things. Many of their owners have no yards, and the dogs would otherwise spend their entire outdoor lives on a leash. The fact that we even need dog parks is a reflection on American society, which is fragmented, with many people living solitary lives. Dogs and other pets are sometimes the only family an owner has. At the same time, municipal laws have been inexorably punishing dogs further and further away from acceptance in our culture. Thus, they're seen as nuisances by half the population and as family by the other half. In a perfect world, dog parks would not have to exist. Well-behaved dogs would have the privilege of being off-leash and well-mannered in many different areas. However, the world is not perfect, so we must have the best of what we have. Advantages of dog parks. The advantages are simple and powerful. Dog parks provide a safe space in which people can exercise with their dogs and watch them play. Something I love to do. Our culture is becoming less and less tolerant of our canine companions, and often they are not welcome elsewhere. At their best, dog parks can facilitate socialization with a variety of breeds and breed types. They can be a wonderful resource for adolescent dogs that have too much energy and no place to put it. Many others function as a social center, a place where people gather to chat, to exchange news, and to commiserate with one another's problems. For many, it replaces family conversation, and for some, it is the only contact with fellow human beings. This is probably why, when I recommend that a client does not visit dog parks, some cannot bring themselves to do it. They miss the camaraderie too much. Disadvantages of dog parks. The disadvantages are not so simple, but can be even more powerful depending on the dog and its owner. Some of these are exacerbated by the layout of parks. The real problems, both short and long term, are behavioral. And often, owners unwittingly contribute to these problems because they don't recognize or don't interpret correctly what their dogs are actually doing and learning. Some of the problems cause difficulties only when dogs are meeting and interacting with other dogs. Others can cause future behavior to deteriorate, and still others directly impact dog-owner relationships. Defensive aggression. Dogs are social animals, but they, like us, tend to like familiar faces. Just as we do not routinely meet and chat with everyone we meet on the street, dogs do not need to meet with all other dogs. It often takes some time for one dog to feel comfortable with another, and they need that time to decide how they should react. As we know, time is not always available in a dog park situation. Thus, even friendly dogs that feel uncomfortable can give people the impression that they are aggressive, especially when they meet a dog for the first time. If an over-exuberant Labrador Retriever, for instance, approaches a herding mix, the latter dog may snarl or air bite to make the Labrador retreat. After that, as far as the herding dog is concerned, they can meet nicely. However, people are likely to label the herding dog aggressive and punish her, or at least ostracize the owner. This is a bad learning experience all around. The Labrador hasn't learned to inhibit his greeting style, which he would have if he hadn't been interrupted by overreacting humans. And the herding dog has learned that a normal warning doesn't work and her owner won't back her up. Learned disobedience. When owners are not careful, dog park play quickly teaches a dog that the owner has no control over him. I'm sure we've all seen an owner follow her dog, calling vainly as the animal strays just out of range, looks at her from afar, or just totally ignores her. And this is after the dog has learned to bark hysterically in the car all the way to the dog park, followed by pulling the owner through the parking lot and then bolting away from her as soon as the leash is off. Owner helplessness. Dogs learn that their owners cannot keep them safe from harm when owners stand by and allow other dogs to play overly rough and to body slam and roll them over. When discussing this point, it's important to understand that dogs' perception of safety matters even more than the humans. This can be difficult for owners who may dismiss their dog's obvious fear as unwarranted since they know the other dogs mean no harm. A dog that is chased or bullied by another dog is not only learning to avoid other dogs, he is also learning that his owner is completely ineffective. Problematic play styles. Dog play styles can be radically different, and sometimes they are not compatible with each other's. This can cause misunderstanding or even fights. It can also exacerbate certain play styles. Dogs that tend to be very physical and play often overwhelm other dogs. No one is inhibiting their play style. In fact, owners often laugh at concerns with, "Don't worry, he's only playing." Playing he may be, but he is also learning. And what he's learning is not necessarily what we want to be teaching. When bullion-type dogs play with similar dogs, the only unwanted outcome is that they don't learn how to be polite with other dogs. If they bully weaker dogs, which often happens, they learn that they can overpower other dogs, and they tend to repeat the behavior. The weaker dogs learn that cutoff or appeasement signals do not work, and they learn to be afraid of other dogs. Sometimes just dogs that look like the bullies. Resource guarding. Resource guarding can be very problematic in a park where resources are often few and far between. Some dogs will guard their own toys. Some will try to take items from other dogs. Some keep the items. Others just want to taunt the dog who owns the toy. Squabbles over resources, including humans sitting at a picnic table or on a bench, can easily erupt into nasty fights. Frustration, aggression. Interestingly enough, leash frustration, a canine temper tantrum, is sometimes an offshoot of dog park experiences. There are a couple of reasons for this. Leash frustration often begins when a dog is so excited at the prospect of playing that he pulls his owner all the way to the park, lunging and barking, sometimes for blocks. His agitated owner pulls back and yells at the dog, thus increasing the arousal. By the time the dog gets to the park, he's all fired up for something very physical, like a fight. Leash frustration also occurs because dogs that frequent parks mistakenly believe that they can meet any other dog they see. Once again, when thwarted, they tend to pull on the leash and the owner yanks back. As the frustration builds, the dog appears to be aggressive, thus causing other owners to pull their dogs back in fear. Eventually, leash frustration can lead to real aggression. Often, owners of these dogs will be very confused because their dogs are so good off-leash and holy terrors on-leash. Facilitated aggression. Many dogs are very attached to their owners and will hang around near them. Often, these dogs are worried about or afraid of other dogs and will growl or display their teeth when they're approached. The owners unwittingly facilitate this behavior by remaining next to their dog, who then counts on them to help if a fight ensues. If this behavior is repeated often enough, if they feel threatened by a variety of dogs, they may default to that behavior. Another form of facilitated aggression occurs when two or more dogs in a family visit the dog park. The two may well gang up on a third dog, possibly frightening him or her, or worse. Age. While many dogs enjoy playing with others throughout their life, a substantial number do not once they have reached social maturity. These dogs will slowly lose interest in other dogs and may signal them to go away. Some dogs become very reluctant to go into dog parks, which, as we have noted, can be out of control. Others will snarl or snap to indicate their displeasure. Arousal. Dogs playing in parks sometimes are unable to calm down, and some can get into a state of sustained arousal that gets them into trouble. A dog that has been involved in an incident in which the excitement level is very high might inappropriately and uncharacteristically start other incidences, often with unwanted outcomes. Trauma. Finally, a traumatic experience can make an impact on a young dog that cannot be fully understood nor erased. A puppy or adolescent who is attacked may well show aggressive behaviors that begin after that incident. Sometimes a young dog can be traumatized by what the owners think are minor events. I liken that kind of trauma to that suffered by a child who is traumatized, perhaps by getting stuck in an elevator. After the first experience, all elevators are bad, even though she knows intellectually that all elevators are not bad. Pity the poor puppy who doesn't have the reasoning to know that what occurred once does not always happen again. The power of knowledge. Owners, of course, play an important role in dog parks and often don't accept the responsibility they should. Many don't pay attention to their dog. Many have no idea what constitutes proper behavior or what a dog may be signaling to another dog. Some defend their dogs when the animal exhibits poor or inappropriate behavior. Some overact to a normal interaction in which one dog discourages the attention of another. Occasionally, some owners use parks as babysitters, even leaving their dogs unattended while they shop. And most owners have far less control over their dogs than they believe. Educating owners is a tough job. Many believe firmly that they are socializing their dogs in the proper way and don't like suggestions that they limit dog park time or monitor their dogs and others. Teaching them what good play looks like is a first step, empowering them to actually interrupt poor interactions is a necessarily second step. Often people don't want to offend other dog owners, so they allow poor behavior to continue. Trainers can help them learn by describing what appropriate interactions look like, possibly by narrating what the dogs are doing as two dogs play. I found that owners really enjoy learning what good play manners are like. They appreciate the same kind of descriptions that they hear from sport announcers doing games. Finally, some dogs should not go to dog parks. They can be too shy, too bold, too defensive, or have tendency to guard toys and balls. Often, when consulting with clients, I ask them to consider giving parks a pass and concentrating on walks or runs, either alone or maybe with some special friends. I'm occasionally surprised by the relief these people feel when they find out dog park play is not mandatory. They thought they had to do it. Behavior tips for dog park attendees. Here are some do's. Check out the entrance before entering. Make sure dogs aren't congregating there. Pay close attention to their dog's play style, interrupting play if necessary to calm their dog down. Move around the park so that their dog needs to keep an eye on them. Remove their dog if the dog appears afraid. Remove their dog if it is bullying others. Respect their dog's wish to leave. Leave special toys at home to avoid resource guarding problems. Here are some don'ts. Allow your dog to enter the park if there is a gang right next to the entrance. Believe that dogs can work it out if you just let them do so. Congregate at a picnic table or other area and chat with dog owners without watching your own dog. Let their frightened dog remain in the park and hope things get better. Listen to other attendees in the park who may not understand their dog's needs. Assume a dog is aggressive when it is only trying to communicate its discomfort. Beagle Spotlight. This spotlight is from Episode 1 on November 5, 2022. I mentioned Macy earlier in the podcast. She was my first beagle. I had decided after I was single again that it was time to get a dog. Always had large dogs in the past like Dobermans and Labs. I wanted something smaller because I lived in a duplex in Anchorage. I went to a local coffee shop and Macy's picture was on their bulletin board. It had her photo, a short bio, and a strip of phone numbers to take one to call. I took the first one and called as soon as I got back into my truck. I met the owners a short time later. Macy and I went for a walk, and when we got back, she jumped in my truck. I looked at the lady and said that I think she's going with me. Later on, a good friend took a photo of Macy with her head out of the back window of my truck and called it Driving Miss Macy. Macy is the sweetest beagle I have ever met. We've been through it all together, to include medical issues, moving, camping trips, you name it. I say she picked the house I bought because we looked at many, but this was the only one she pooped in the yard. Macy does have epilepsy. She gets her phenobarbital twice a day. We now have her seizures under control, but at one time there were 2 to 3 a week. I believe I can count on one hand how many she's had this year, and they are a lot milder than they were at the start. I got sick and was in the hospital for a week. After I came back home, taking her for walks is what helped me get my strength back. Her immune system failed about 7 years ago. We couldn't figure out why. I thought I was going to lose her. Things started to turn around. I got pictures of me feeding her on my kitchen counter. Whatever it took, she got it. She's 12 years old now and showing the mature beagle white face. She still barks and bays at whatever threatens the beagle ranch. She's the queen of the house and first in line for treats. She's mellow, stubborn, a bed hog, and jumps in my lap only when she wants to. She's my Macy gal. We lost my Macy gal on June 7th, 2023, after a fall that she never recovered from. I miss her bad and always will, my little Macy girl. Shout out to my family members visiting from Maryland. My sister Diane, my cousin Donnie, and nephew Nicholas. Also my niece Dallas visiting from Las Vegas. Thanks for tolerating me and my pups while you visit Alaska. Remember, rescue dogs are awesome. Check out an animal shelter or your local rescue today. Alaska Beagle Ranch is a nonprofit, and we depend on donations to help us with our mission. What is our mission? Our mission and our goal are for every beagle, especially in Alaska, to have a happy home. For our beagles to be happy, they need to be healthy. We only adopt healthy beagles, so we need your help in paying their medical bills to get or keep them healthy so they can find their forever home. Beagles that can't be adopted become resident beagles at ABR. Their medical, food, and upkeep can be costly. We know that the economy isn't as good as we would like for it to be. Just a few dollars add up and goes a long, long way. You can find us on PayPal at Beagle Ranch 907, or go to our Facebook page of Alaska Beagle Ranch, and you can find links to PayPal in our Amazon wish list. We are looking for some wonderful fosters. There can be a lot involved in being a foster, so do think it over. Some of our beagles might have special needs, like having to go to the vet, or they might need to take meds, and maybe it might need some additional training. Of course, they always need some good loving. Sorry, but you must live in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley area, specifically near Wasilla or Palmer. Email me at akbeagleranch@gmail.com or call us at 907-202-4226 for more information. Remember, our goal is for every beagle, especially in Alaska, has a happy home. Thank you for listening to the Alaska Beagle Ranch. If you know of a beagle needing a good and happy home, put the owners in contact with us. If you know someone who is looking to get a beagle, please share our podcast with them. All the episodes will tell you what you need to know about beagles. If you have any questions about beagles, and if they are right for you, email me at akbeagleranch@gmail.com. or call us at 907-202-4226. You can follow us on Facebook at Alaska Beagle Ranch or on Twitter at @Beagle_Ranch. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe, review, and maybe send some feedback or ideas. See you at the Alaska Beagle Ranch next week.